Wondrous. Genuinely wondrous.
The truth is always out there. Sometimes way out there. With the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Actually, it's David J. Howe and Sam Stone who are out there present. Probably way out there in their own way as well. Never mind. Cameron, in Nashville, what is the weather like?
Yes. It's pretty humid today. We've had some pretty severe storms that came across through kind of Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas, and into just north of here in Kentucky. And there were a couple of tornadoes that touched down. We didn't get anything quite that severe, but it's just really muggy out right now. But otherwise, great.
Well, that's important. And was it poison ivy you stepped into, or was it something completely different?
No, well, I was in. Whenever we get winds, we lose a lot of. We have a lot of trees in our backyard, and limbs fall down. And I was picking them up, and it was hot out, so I didn't have a shirt on. And I must have something touched me. But
Cameron, I've told you about this topless gardening before. You know, there comes a time in everybody's life where the topless gardening has to come to an end. I mean, Emma, you know, if we go to Surrey, I mean, topless gardeners there?
I mean, I've never done it myself. And actually, I've never spotted any. But I've seen, you know, I've noticed that the people in Lincoln get very excited when the sun comes out, because recently we've had a lot of sunny days, and I've seen loads of men in the high street with no top on.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yellow bellies because of the sun line.
That's the real name.
Personally, I think it could be quite offensive to the eye, and I try not to avoid because
where to look?
You know, Hannah from Harwich. I mean, we're used to all these topless blokes wandering around, or is it a case of, it's a typical day in Harwich?
Well, I haven't personally seen any, and the walls between our gardens where I live are very low, so if there was, it would...
Just don't do it. Just don't go there. It's important. By the way, Cameron, Hannah, as we said, making her debut on the evening Midweek Drive, a fine level one undergraduate, but not for much longer because she'll soon be a level two undergraduate reading journalism. She, in many ways, has become Harwich's answer to Glinton's very own Peterborough, Tessa Snott. Did I say Glinton's very own Peterborough?
All right.
Yeah. Also joining us in the studio, we've got the ace Sam Stone. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Alex. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Always the best for seeing your good self, Sam. I find you re-energise the whole piece in much the same way as David J. Howe energises the Stone tapes.
Good evening.
It's wonderful. So there we are, David J. Howe and Sam Stone. So as you can see, or indeed hear, Cameron, because let's face it, the astral eye isn't necessarily coming to the fore here, you can now begin to reveal why, as Claire Margerison said in the early part of the programme, ooh, Eric Dillon looks as though he's got a pink flamingo on his line there. Amazing. we're looking at his Facebook page. Cameron, take it away with the introduction, please.
Yeah, came across this guy through one of our music services that we get for national access. And you know, anything with a pink flamingo on the label, we got to look at. And we just started listening to it, and we're absolutely blown away. I think, you know, if you're a fan of Steve Earle from kind of his first couple of records, you're really going to like this. Eric Dillon is a songwriter from Kansas. I can't remember whether it's third or fourth generation farmer. Moved to Nashville. He's been writing for some of the biggest names in country music today, and he's got his brand new album coming out in about a month or two, and this is the first single from it, and we really like it. It's just such a cool song. This is called Pink Flamingos. Eric Dillon is on Siren FM.
Tinson, what did you make of Eric Dillon? No relation to Mr. Zimmerman, I presume. Although Cameron could probably sort of correct us on that. So, yeah, he's his brother. And Pink Flamingo.
Well, I don't know where he's found these pink flamingos, but I thought that was the epitome of country music. It was brilliant. I really liked it.
The epitome of country music. Do you echo that, David J. Howe?
I do, I do. I usually say it's epitome.
Whatever Seb was right.
Yeah, no, I thought that was very nice. That was very, very country, gentle, you know, rolled along nicely. You kind of, almost you can smell the guy sitting in the back of the truck, can't you, as he's playing the song or singing. I don't know if it's got a video or whatever is on the video, but no, it's nice.
Well, have you seen an image of a pink flamingo, actually, which I thought was Miami Vice? Claire Margerrison, what did you make of it?
I think that Tess would really love that as well. Yeah, like, it's so country. I love it. Very summer as well, which we're mourning the loss of.
And Hannah, again, a historic time, because the first time you've actually heard the official release of the Cameron Tilbury Nashville Access number. Yeah. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was quite nice. Nice, like, relaxing tune for an afternoon like this.
Mm-hmm. Which leaves us with Sam Stone, of course.
Yes, I thought it was really, well, like you said, relaxing, chill, it chills you out. Lovely song.
The deal clincher. The deal clincher. So there we are. Congratulations, Cameron. You've got another winner as you continue to work with the delights of Access All Areas, because you've currently reached how many likes on Facebook?
Well, we're National Access is now just, we're almost at 1,100. We need, I think, six more likes to break
just
1,100.
Just seven likes short of 1,100. Yeah. I mean, we can do that, guys. And, you know, we can. We can do it in the studio almost now, really. We haven't already done it.
Take our phones out.
Exactly. If only things were there, facebook.com/Nashville Access. And it's if you go to Cameron Tilbury's a routine, you can actually see it just above a video of the cow whisperer, which I think is a bit too strong, really. There are certain things which you can actually say, yeah, that's fine, but cow whispering, please. Thumbs up. By the way, Cameron, delighted that we received information of somebody who dedicated their latest video to us. This was, of course, our performance artist we had on a few weeks ago, who's doing all sorts of things with her little guitar. That's hard. But we couldn't access it, as
Carrington
I said.
Carrington
McDuffie. But if she'd like to join us next week, the invite is there. So there we are.
I'll see what I can arrange for you.
Excellent. Would you like to wish Emma Tenson a happy belated birthday to 21 yesterday?
Happy belated birthday, Emma Timpson, because you were 21 yesterday.
It is the Emma Timpson birthday show, I know.
Is it the Emma Timpson show?
Now you can drink legally here.
She has actually been, I believe, consuming alcohol.
Yeah, well, I my actual birthday, I didn't really do a lot, to be honest. I was in bed most of the day.
Just relaxed and unwound in the whole sort of way. That's what it's all about, relaxed and unwound. So, last two questions for Cameron. Please, Claire.
Have you enjoyed a telephonic link with us today, Cameron?
I have. It's been fun.
Good. And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next week.
And ease off on the topless gardening, please.
No, I don't think so now. The rash is too bad.
Too much information, Cameron. Too much information. Living on free food tickets. I'm a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love you just as much as she can. And she can.
Did you know you can listen to Siren FM wherever you are? In Lincoln, tune to 107.3 FM. Or hear us around the world on sirenonline.co.uk or even via your mobile phone. Which means, theoretically, we can be heard in the White House, Buckingham Palace, halfway up the Eiffel Tower, or backpacking with your granny in the Amazon. Siren 107.3 FM. Local coverage. Worldwide listening.
Quite right, too. Even in the island of Jersey, I believe. Isn't that right, Anna Lewis?
Yes, at last. I was stuck at Gatwick last night. The plane that I took to come back to Jersey got as far as Jersey but couldn't land night before last. So they decided to send us back to Gatwick, and then they were going to send us to Brighton to stay in a hotel. This was at midnight, And then I thought about it. We needed to check in at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And that's David J. So Howe, is why...
it was dreadful. And I've just woken up.
It's exactly. It's our way. I was just going to say, that, David J. Howe, is why Anna has not had time to actually do a Jersey Delight for you. Because she's been too busy being shifted from pillar to post.
Don't they serve them on aeroplanes?
Well, honestly, all I is EasyJet, and not exactly the most organised company, because they were trying to say something along the lines of, well, we haven't got enough fuel to hover around the island, because fog was the problem, you see. But they managed to get us back all the way to Gatwick. Yeah. I just can't see how they did it.
It's the power of prayer, Anna, the power of prayer. Fundamentally, obviously, other airlines are available, and Stelios works very hard to ensure that you have enough fuel on all the flights. If you're listening to this and you think you're taking EasyJet flight, don't worry, they'll have sufficient fuel to get you there and back, or at least circumnavigate Gatwick Airport.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anyone else has had experience like that with EasyJet, but you know what? It wasn't fun. It really wasn't fun.
I used the company to travel up and down to badminton horse trials a few years ago. It seemed to be perfectly okay there. Mind you, I didn't actually cross out of the aspect. Anyway, enough such stuff. It's the midweek drive, not the midweek flight. We'll have a different entire sort of show on that basis. Whom would you like to have a chat to? Would you like to wish Emma Tenson a happy 21st birthday for yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. I have fond memories of my 21st birthday. Sorry, you haven't given me much of a choice, but yes, I'll go with the 21st birthday.
Nice. Well, I mean,
congratulations.
Yeah, I know, they never thought she'd make it over 14, and look, here she is. 21 English years. Amazing. Yeah, and lots of sort of things will be happening as the programme proceeds. Actually, I'll just sneak in all sorts of ways. We've also got Hannah Brown, who's making her debut on the production today. She's Midweek Drive et from Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but thankfully she's graduated, hasn't she, Claire? She's graduated.
Yes. Gone up in the world. It's a big, important step.
Very important. Claire Margerison, of course, with us as well. And David J. Howe, still waiting his Jersey Delights. It's all right. They'll come through about 2019, David.
Yes, I've got it in my diary, yes.
It's all right.
I'll book the pigeon. I won't send it via mail, via EasyJet. I promise you, I'll get the pigeon to bring it over. It might be easier, actually.
I'm glad you said you're going to get the pigeon to bring it over, because it would suggest that Jersey Delights are made of pigeons, and that's a different line entirely. You know? The pigeons,
ew.
No. Yeah, exactly. Ooh, as they'd say. Sam Stone is with us as well, and Mary Dancy is with us. So there we are, a choice of six fine folk, all awaiting just your words to say, I want to speak to that person there, if you can remember them. Because you've just woken up, so what the heck?
I've just woken up. Yeah, I know. Well, this is it. But you know what? You kind of. I'm not very good with names, I have to admit. But yes, I will go. I will go back to Emma, actually, because I want to know what it's like when you've done the threshold of 21. Do you still feel kind of as if it's a milestone? Because I'm trying to remember how I felt when I was 21, and it was a very long time ago.
But, I don't really feel any different, to be honest. I've been so busy lately that I forgot it was even my birthday coming up.
Really?
And my best friend from back home kept texting me all week going, oh, it's 7 days, 6 days, 5 days. And I was like, shut up.
Everything's legal when you're 21. It's like, oh my, I can do absolutely anything. It's like you can move the planet at 21. You know, I just think that, you know, I don't know. Did you get any presents that involved, like, keys and cats with, you know, those typical symbols of being 21 that were very fashionable in the 70s? You know, those kind of glasses with, I'm 21, or, you know, congratulations. There were some gifts that came out in the 80s and 70s which were really kind of a bit iffy, and you find them a lot in charity shops.
I think
now.
Naff is the word that you're looking for, actually. He says, using a quaint 20th century phrase, but Emma.
Yeah, I think I got a few of them on my 18th birthday. I think I remember a teddy bear holding a key to the door. None this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think fashions have changed, though, haven't they, in terms of what you get when you're certain ages. I mean, I'm quite sarcastic, and I tend to go for really amusing cards that are not the right age for people, but yet they're very funny, you know, like your congratulations on your 100th birthday, and I hope you have many more. And you just think, you know, that's the reality of it all.
Exactly. But, Sam, yeah. Of course, was just 21 3 years ago. So, I mean, Sam, it's well within your kind of range. And indeed, it has to be said, Sam, that Tessa Snart, not with us today, but has indeed said, did she not, Claire, that Sam Stone reminds her very much of Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
Really? It's constant, she said that. I thought it was Christina Aguilera. No, it's Sam Stone. Oh, really? Yeah. Exactly.
I think I quite like that.
We certainly like Tessa Snart.
Spreading
I'm going to go out and sing Lady Marmalade. I'm not doing it on there.
It's another sort of aspect.
Karaoke.
Do you think when the Queen gets to 100, she has to send herself a telegram?
I hope so.
I think she should.
It's certainly a question we can actually put to Richard Fitzwilliams tomorrow with respect to all sorts of things. Anyway, the point was, Sam, clearly Lindsay Gold, is she 21, 20 or 21?
She's 23. I think she ought to start lying about it now. Yeah. I mean, actually, it was very kind of you saying I was 21 3 years ago. I'm actually 150, Alex. And...
And you're good for it.
Well, you see, that's the response I get when I say that. So I think Lindsay ought to start lying. I think she should just say she's 50. And then she looks great, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And there we have it. Ultimately, the topic being, if you are over 21, remember it's just a number, isn't it, David?
I mean, it is just a number,
you're
yeah.
wearing all the doctors upon your well, actually four of them, actually. Doctor, Mr. and Doctor. Nice. I thought we're initially...
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, yes, exactly. Yeah, we did that. Yeah. Well done. So, David, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis?
Anna Lewis.
Just showing my chronologically giftedness there.
I know, you're very good. You're very good.
Working on that.
Anna Lewis, are you still with us? Are you awake?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone
link
with us today? Wake up, Anna!
Yes, I have. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
The opportunity, like that. You see, that's the opportunity to actually diss a well-known airline for across the globe. That's you go for it, exactly.
I nearly got in there with you.
Don't get Sam started on her last transatlantic experience with a similar company. Oh, Lord above.
And Anna, will you be taking a well-known airline to visit us next week, soon, on the Midweek Drive?
Well, I'll certainly be there next week. Okay.
But it'll be astral travelling.
Anna
Lewis, we salute you. We're going off to Los Angeles now to speak to Tara Bennett. And then we've got William Coles, and then we've got Graham Harper, and then we've got Louis Savvy, and now we've got Christina Aguilera. Dancy, are you a keen Once Upon a Time fan?
I'm a bit like Emma. I watched the first couple of episodes, but I've not invested myself in it yet.
You haven't invested yourself in it yet. Claire Margerison, you've invested yourself in Once Upon a Time, haven't you?
I have, yes. I am
very excited when I passed over the little text there. That was
I have watched it since it first came out, and then I had a gap for about a year, and then I
you have
got
returned.
Netflix. And
you're
I
a lapsed Once Upon a Time.
It was amazing. Yeah, I just love it so much.
Okay. Hannah Brown? Once Upon a Time?
I'm on the first series currently, so I am watching.
So the book
it.
Actually there, produced by Paul Terry and, of course, Tara Bennett, ideal, really, for yourself to just ease you through that whole process. Publisher David J. Howe, you've got a little bit of gripe with the book
yes,
there, haven't
it's
you?
Got no author names on the front. And I think, and in fact, you open it up and there's no author names on the inside page, and you don't get author names until you actually get to the articles. And I thought that was, and they're very, very, like,
they're 8. All there. And once you know it's a Tara Bennett quality piece,
absolutely.
You know it's an absolute.
But it should have a Tara Bennett name on the front.
Okay.
But,
well,
anyway,
well,
that's what I think.
And clearly, what we need then is massive neon star writings, a Tara Bennett production. Tara Bennett proudly presents. What say you, Tara Bennett?
Well, yeah, I mean, I only contributed to that. That's not really one of my complete books. It's more of a magazine compilation. So that's why my name's on the top of it, because I'm one of several that did that. But I have lots of other books with my names on the cover.
So you can relax.
There's other ones, yes. It's okay. That was an older book, and I have lots of new ones with just my name or Paul Terry's name on the very big cover. So, yeah, it's no problem.
It's okay, Tara, but as you know, an edition of SFX magazine without your byline, for me, as I said to Richard Edwards, it's just sadly lacking something. But listen, so much excitement coming through. Big Trouble in Little China, Ice Age movies, and a whole heap of other scenarios. Where do you want to take us first, Tara Bennett? Or would you like me to actually just introduce you to the hextet of quality that we actually got? We've got 6 fine folk in the studio, one of whom just celebrated her 21st birthday yesterday. And let's see if you can guess which one actually did. Was it author extraordinaire Sam Stone?
Of course it was me.
Was it publisher and writer and Doctor Who contributor extraordinaire David J. Howe?
The cake was lovely.
was it English graduate to be, soon to be postgraduate to be Claire Margerrison?
Bit young.
Was it haggard London citizen who couldn't quite get to Sci-Fi London but still doing it? Was it Mary Dancy?
Thanks to the card, everybody.
or was it indeed Hannah Brown?
I'm not quite there yet.
As a mature, no. Or was it Emma Tennyson?
Definitely wasn't me.
So whom do you think actually was celebrating their 21st cycle round the sun yesterday, please, Tara Bennett?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Hannah? No? No?
No.
No.
It's the short answer. We'll leave it there. Cause
I'm literally blind boxing everybody. I can't see.
Yeah, it's okay. The photos won't help. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. We'll reveal it later on in the show if you haven't already sussed it and if you joined us late, because we actually mentioned it in the first part of the production. Tara. Ice Age. David was thinking, are you a historian? Are you into paleontology? No, for me, Ice Age will always epitomise the story of Alex Levchuk, the chap who actually looks after his acorn and clings to it tenaciously.
I love that. Yes, the little crat, yeah. Yeah, it's history by way of animated Paleolithic critters. So yeah, it's kind of specious history, that's for sure. But yeah, no, I'm very proud to be associated with Blue Sky Animation, who's the company that did the Rio movies and the Ice Age movies, and they allowed me to author a book that's coming out in about 6 weeks, which features all 5 of the Ice Age movies. They have a new one coming out this summer. And so I went back and talked to everybody that ever created them, worked on them, and we have some really, really beautiful art from all of the really incredible designers and creation, layout people and the people that just have made that franchise as big as it is around the world. So that one is coming out from Titan in a couple of weeks, and it's really, really beautiful. And it was a lot of fun to work with that team again and get to know their history and how that basically that little guy with an acorn, when you walk into their lobby in Connecticut, that's their logo now. They had no idea that movie was going to launch them into the stratosphere with animation, and that little guy is the cornerstone of their entire operation now. So it was really fun to go back down memory lane and then also talk about a brand new entry into that long line of films that they've done.
David hasn't quite mastered the art of using a microphone when it's actually opened up from that point of view. So apologies for that, dear listener. You know, we're having to, because of the sort of Heath Robinson nature of the Midweek Drive base in Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, have to sort of juggle around a few bits and pieces. So allowing for the art of Ice Age, the first Ice Age movie introduced the world to 3 Sub-Zero heroes, Manny the Mammoth, Sid the Sloth, and Diego the Zabertooth Tiger, the strangest herd of prehistoric inhabitants ever seen in many ways. David, why are you a fan?
I do like the films. I think I've seen all of them, I think. I mean, particularly, obviously, the little squirrel guy, is it, with the
nut,
acorn?
Nut-obsessed squirrel
nut
scratch.
Nut-obsessed squirrel scratch. I mean, I love those little sequences. I mean, they don't have a lot to do with the films, per se, but I just...
No.
I
think
David, like, if you don't know where your nuts are, you might as well
absolutely.
Give up.
Absolutely. But they're like those little, you know, like the Looney Tunes, like the little cartoons that you used to get way back in the day, the Warner Brothers ones. And I just love that, kind of the screwy squirrel and the cleverness of it. And I love all that.
Emma?
Yeah, I think they're brilliant. And could I just say, like, that series of films have been going on for years now. It's crazy. I remember when the first one came out and I thought it was a brilliant idea. It's very different to anything else that had come out before. And it's brilliant that it's still going as well.
Well, I mean, just think, you have The Art of Ice Age, you know, as a wonderful coffee table book written by Tara Bennett as well. It's amazing. Hannah.
Yeah, I've loved them. It makes me feel old, though, when I remember that we've got the first Ice Age on video.
Video.
Wow.
Oh,
back home.
I bet you have one of those really exciting technologies called a VCR as well, to possibly play it on.
No, we don't, actually. The last one we had got broken by my cousin, so...
If you're listening and you'd like to donate a VCR, then Hannah Brown and her Harwich home will have, you know, an ideal home for it, because you've got that tape that's actually there. Claire?
I remember seeing the first one in the cinema and then going to McDonald's afterwards and getting a Ice Age toy, and that was like a bit of a highlight of life. I had no idea there were so many of them now. I honestly seem to have missed a boat that has gone by me that's... absolutely huge. I've just completely missed it. I'll have to catch up.
Four movies, four sequels. Fifth one, obviously, out this year, so great stuff there. Sam, Ice Age.
I'm going to be quite...
controversial, aren't you?
Yes.
No!
I have to be dragged kicking and screaming to watch any kind of cartoon.
Really?
I can't stand them.
Even Toy Story 1, 2 and 3?
And every time I see that little man with his nuts... Yeah. Well, I'd like to stick that somewhere.
Really?
Some notion. Sorry. I can't help it. I just really hate it.
Sam, you know, we appreciate your views. And
David's always trying to persuade me to watch these things. And what am I like? Yeah. No, I don't want to watch it.
Was it a traumatic experience you had with Roadrunner as a child?
I don't know what it is. I mean, the same ones that he's made me watch and I have liked them, like Up. I like that one, but I can't watch it again because it makes me cry, so I don't want to watch it.
Just
again.
The opening sequence. But, just close your eyes through the opening sequence and go from there.
And then, you know, the other one that you're trying to get me to watch now is Inside Out, isn't it? And I'm like, no.
That is amazing.
Obviously, there's an emotional thing here in which we can obviously look into David J. Howe's head, if you wish to, and Sam J. Stone's. You see, go this way. So, Mary Dancy, Ice Age.
Yeah, I remember watching it, like Claire, in the cinema. And then when we went to cinema recently to see Jungle Book, I saw the posters for the new one. Mm-hmm. And again, I was like in awe that there's still more coming out.
So. Still more. The only way is to clearly actually go accompany with The Art of Ice Age. So in The Art of Ice Age, and one of these days, Tara, we will get an inspection copy to have a preview of this whole thing. I mean,
I'll make sure I get you one next time. Yeah, I don't have my copy yet either, but you will have your copy.
Titan Productions, what can you say? They're no Telos. Anyway, apart from that, what sort of delights can we look forward to in this early Christmas present? The Art of Ice Age.
It's got every movie is given its own chapter, and then the fun thing is just like was mentioned, there's that kind of Looney Tune aspect to all of the Scrat adventures, and they do just kind of work as these little interstitials amongst all of the movies. But they've also done specific short films with them. One actually won an Academy Award. So the fun thing about the book is that you've got all five movies, but you also have the shorts. There's one with Sid. There's a couple with Scrat. They just did an Easter special. They have a Christmas special. There's a lot of things that a lot of people, if you're hardcore into Ice Age, then you knew it. But this book will also be really fun because you'll see other stories that maybe you missed, if they were only on the DVDs. Maybe they were just attached to one of the movies at the front. But all of it's addressed, and we have art from it, and then preliminary sketches, early renderings of what some of the characters look like, which is really fun. You can see what Manny looked like. He's a lot thinner, it's really a fun progression if you really like that world and those characters. So it was a real blast working on it.
As we move from Ice Age slightly into warmer territories, we find if we go into a certain part of the world, you could have big trouble in a little part of China. See what we did there, Tara? Mm. See the way we cross-referenced that with
Peter Tara? Very nice. I see what you did.
Called as a segue. I suspect that probably I'll gamble, I'll say maybe two people in the studio, possibly including myself, will have actually seen this 80s classic with Kurt Russell, of course. Let's test this. Emma. Big Trouble in Little China.
I don't believe I have.
30 English years, or American or Chinese years, since it actually emerged.
Wow.
Yeah. Hasn't actually sort of seen it from that way. Okay, Hannah, Big Trouble in Little China?
No, can't say it rings a bell.
No, okay, well, we're running the trailers. Claire, Margeris?
Nope.
No. Sam Stone?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes from that. Yeah. And David J. Howe?
Absolutely, yes. A favourite, favourite film.
It's a good comfort
film. Superb film.
And Mary Dancy?
Unfortunately, no.
Yes. So, there we are. It's kind of right from that point of view. Early Kim Cattrall, of course, yes. Before she actually went Sex in the City, and all sorts of other strange things, and indeed London Stage and so on. But how are you connected with this and Paul Terry and Big Trouble in Little China, please? Tara?
It is definitely a movie that a lot of the younger generation needs to go back on Netflix and take a look at it, because it's one of those, it came out in the same year as Aliens, a lot of the classic 80s movies that they may have seen. This one was a cult one, that's for sure, because people back in 1986 did not get it. they didn't quite understand what John Carpenter, who did Halloween, They Live, he's done Starman, but, you know, he's seminal in the horror world. This was his ode to martial arts films from China, and he wanted to just do an all-out kind of spectacular with it. But it's really, really progressive in terms of the comedy, the kind of tongue-in-cheek approach. I mean, there is no movie I can think of off the top of my head that is as quotable as Big Trouble in Little China. It's almost every line of dialogue has something incredibly funny that people still, if you've seen the movie, it's going to stick in your head. But Paul Terry and I are huge fans of this movie from our childhood, and we are in a lucky position out here in Los Angeles to be able to sometimes pitch book projects. And so we went to Fox and we said about a year ago, we would love to do an anniversary book on Big Trouble in Little China. And luckily they had just started kind of really reinvigorating the licensing of that movie, because again, it was really always a kind of under the radar kind of film. If you saw it, you absolutely loved it. If you haven't seen it, you kind of go, what is it? But then when you watch it, it's one of those instant converted fan kind of movies. So they said yes. And we are working with Boom Studios, which is a publisher out here as well. They have been doing a Big Trouble in Little China comic book series with John Carpenter for the last year, where they've extended Jack Burton, who is Kurt Russell's character, what has happened to him since the end of the movie. So he's kind of been crafting the canon sequel that we never got in movie form, because the movie wasn't a success at the box office. It's just been a huge success on VHS, as we mentioned, and since it went off into the Blu-ray and the home video market. And so Paul and I just have had the most amazing last couple of months being able to talk to John Carpenter in his home office. We just interviewed Kim Cattrall, as you mentioned, the other day, and she was so lovely and gracious and talked about her experiences. We've gotten Peter Kwong, who was one of the Storms, who were the three kind of iconic villains. We got James Kong, who was Lo Pan, who's one of the greatest villains ever. So funny, so just distinct. And we've gotten Richard Edlund, who was the VFX supervisor on that film. He gave us his entire archive of pictures of everything that they've done to create that movie. So there's black and whites of the Wild Man monster that they created. There are early sketches of designs of the monsters. And we also interviewed April Ferry, who's a legend in costume design. This was her first movie where she actually had that title. And she is actually 84, and she's doing the costumes for Game of Thrones this season. So it's just been this incredible ride for Paul and I to be able to talk to these people and also put it all together in a book that I think we're going to knock the socks off of fans of this movie. And we're beyond excited about it.
So there we have it, Hannah. Big Trouble in Little China. Ideal preparation for travelling from level one to level two in terms of a journalism degree. Claire, obviously it's your postgraduate source of study. Mary, likewise, clearly Big Trouble in Little China. How did you not know it was actually out there? And, of course, Emma, well, Kurt Russell. Little pop quiz trivia question for your good self, Tara. What's the connection between Kurt Russell and The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Wait, which one? Are you talking about
the original series? Yes, the original series. Let's go with that.
I don't know. You've got me.
Was a child actor, Kurt Russell, who starred in The Finny Foot Affair, in which he tries to actually get Napoleon Solo to meet his widowed mother. Interesting line there, but really worth catching.
Amazing. Very good. Very good. I'll bring that up. We talked to him very soon.
Well,
so
you see, Kurt, you know, when you were in Man from U.N.C.L.E., you know, did you not see it? All sorts of things there. Because after that, he got into his vests and he was all kind of Escape from New Yorkish and all the rest of bits and pieces. But anyway, Tara, so much. We haven't had a chance to get SFX magazine, which is the premier magazine you can obviously sort of access in every sense of the word. But we thought we'd have a special Big Trouble in Little China and Ice Age scenario, which means it's going to be Birthday Girl, yes. In fact, actually, Tara, would you like us to reveal the first birthday gift for Emma Tinson, who had our 21st yesterday? Yeah. What do you think? Should we go? Should we go back in time? Should we go back in time with this one? Because I've got a bag of little goodies here. Do you want to go back in time, Tara? It's up to you. Should we go back in time? Should we go sort of contemporary? What sort of thing would you like to go for?
I'm going to say contemporary to celebrate her 21st.
Oh, all right. I'm scared.
Now, contemporary, because her mother actually stole her first version of this, we've dug out another authentic calendar because she said, my mum took the last calendar and she refused to give it back to me. She took it to her office.
See, my dad will nick this one. Thank you.
The first of the series that's actually going to, but there will be others. We'll be back in time as well and a few others. Which means, Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Tara Bennett, please?
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Would you like to join us again sometime?
Yes, please, thank you.
That'd be next month. Hooray! Round of applause for Tara Bennett. Oh, sensational.
I never thought I'd miss you half as much as I do. And I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you. It must be love, love, love. Nothing more, nothing less. Love is the best. It must be love, love.
Tinkering around on Google Maps, searching for the city of Dubai, I made the strangest discovery. You can get there on foot. On foot? Not that I'm going to do it. Well, not just yet, but the idea behind this vast route map is beautiful, life-affirming. Better than that, life-transforming. In fact, Emma, it was Google that helped us get to Manchester for the Fab Cafe.
It was indeed. Yeah. Valuable tool.
And if it can get us from Lincoln to Manchester, why not Edinburgh to Lincoln? Why not Lincoln to Edinburgh? Bill Coles, welcome back to the programme. How are you, sir?
I'm very good shape. Thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. It is the official Emma birthday celebration thing, a day after her 21st birthday.
Celebration thing.
Right. 21 and never been kissed. Or is that sweet 16?
Just don't go there. Just do not go there, Bill.
Just right, okay. Away, just trying to be helpful.
Step away from the former Sun journalist investigative scenario and step into something completely different.
Tell me, Emma, what are you allowed to do at 21 that you were not allowed to do at 20?
Nothing. No, it's generally because 21's quite a big age in like America when you can drink for the first time, but
alcohol
I'm already quite experienced in that. So.
Right, are you sure you can't become an MP or something?
yeah, actually, you should, probably could become an MP now. You could actually, yeah, you could have stood for the London. No, you couldn't have stood for the London mayoral elections. So what fun that was, as Mr. Khan takes over, or indeed as Zach Goldsmith was probably heard to say, Khan. did the London mayoral elections impact on you up in Edinburgh, Bill, or was it a case of how quaint the old country having
what?
Those things?
No, it didn't. The Scots were all having their own elections, and the SNP got in again, not with a majority this time. But the London elections was fairly small beer up here, and I don't think the Scots would take to Zach Goldsmith. I don't think many people have taken to him, actually, but maybe things are different in Lincoln.
Things are always different in Lincoln, as Mary Dancy will actually attest to. Mary, are you a Google fan? I mean, obviously other search engines are available, but this latest Bill Coles article that I've passed over to your good self, does it appeal?
Yeah, I do Google everything because I'm a bit of a Samsung girl, so that's kind of the easiest kind of one to use, so... Google Play, Google Maps, the Google Speech stuff. It's really cool. I love it. So I'm properly invested.
So what possessed you to actually write this particular piece then, Bill, for, of course, the legendary Huffington Post, updated a mere 28 minutes ago, actually, in terms of...
Well, it's perfectly obvious. I am just merely trying to get a walk together 10,000 miles to Sulawesi, and I'm rattling the swill drum to get some sponsorship out of Google.
See what you did there. Very good. Strategic thinking.
Is that strategic thought.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Will Google Maps be able to stomach a small, teeny tiny ferry ride to Java? A mere 9,623 miles, 126 days and 4 hours. You're edging closer to this mythical 10,000-mile walk.
Yep. And it's got a number of interesting bits of philosophy about the walk. It is, first of all, that you just begin. If you have any big project, you can fret and plan all the rest, but you just really want to begin. And even these 10,000-mile journeys, they start with a single step. And Google Maps has got such a huge level of detail that the first few instructions are just a few steps, and it's really easy. And before you know it, you've done a couple of miles out of the 10,000.
Do you know, for a moment, Bill, I thought I was in the company of an ancient Chinese philosopher, just having the bowl of rice and suddenly saying, when you can snatch the pebble from this hand, it'll be time for you to leave.
You're talking about Chinese philosophers. What about Lao Tzu saying that it's nothing to do with the destination, it's all about the journey?
Genius. I would have said Lao Tzu, but Lao Tzu is just as wonderful, you know.
Lao Tzu. Well, that's probably because you've got a Chinese degree.
I've been turning Japanese for a good few years, but let's not talk that because it sets up all sorts of other scenarios there. Hannah's looking confused, and we can't have that. Hannah, thoughts from yourself. Are you a Google girl?
Yes, well...
She says. She's from Harwich, Bill, and this is her first complete year at the University of Lincoln, and she's reading journalism, so she hasn't had the Bill Coles experience because she's probably been on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. So welcome.
Right. Well, welcome. Welcome to the journalism course. I'm sure that Alex will be cracking the whip.
What goes on in the seminar room, even at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, stays in the seminar room. That's the end of that, basically. Carry on. Yeah, Hannah, back to Google.
Yeah, I pretty much use it for most things, but that's because it is everywhere. I mean, email, YouTube, searching, maps.
And yet phone. Other search engines are available. Are you Google-oriented then, Claire?
You know what? I once got very, very, very bored and followed the A1 from its beginning, well, A1M from its beginning to its end via Google Maps.
Oh, my God.
That's so sad.
That's very sad.
So I know the feeling.
Who was it who said that English undergraduates have sort of, you know, got too much time on their hands?
Have you ever had a Google whack then?
No.
Explain, please. A Google whack.
A Google whack is when you're putting in two words and you get a single result.
I want to be able to do that.
Two words, single result.
And some guy, can't remember who he was, but Dave Gorman. Yes, he got quite a good book out of it called Google Whack, and he goes on this adventure searching out the first Google whack, and then gets them to do another Google whack.
David, you're a computer man. At least you know, you claim that, as well as being a publisher, Doctor Who person, and all sorts of other wonderful things. I mean, you believe in search engine Google? It's quite, thank you, Sam, for actually telling him to pull his shirt down, because I thought it was dangerous to getting close to another topless presenter. I thought we can't.
I'm his wife. I do things like that all the time.
Yeah, and I decided to embarrass him by making it public. Anyway, carry on. So yes, David, in terms of Google, would you say no? I prefer something completely different for my search engines.
No, I quite like Google. I mean, what annoys me actually is when your computer thinks it knows better and tries to give you Yahoo or all sorts of other things as search things. But what I've used Google for is probably not what most people would use Google for. Is researching where an address is that's an imaginary address that you want to set in a book somewhere. So, for example, I think we were doing one book and we needed some offices in, I don't know, Shanghai or somewhere. So you kind of Google map to Shanghai, you go onto Google Earth, you can actually see what's there, you find the two streets, you find the building that you want to place your people in, and then you can describe it in the book. And it's all absolutely genuine and is genuinely there. The other thing we found was a patch of wasteland, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because we wanted a military place that didn't exist.
We were doing that recently for JD.
Yeah, and so we found a patch of wasteland in New York that we decided was where our place was going to be, and then we could describe it, and we knew exactly what was there. So this is the other beauty of Google, is not just finding stuff that does exist, but actually knowing how you can realistically come up with something that doesn't exist and make it believable.
You see what creativity you can bring to the show, Bill. You know, just through that sort of little article.
What's wrong with just making it all up?
Because there will be someone somewhere in the world that will go, well, when I went there, I couldn't find that particular lamppost. And you don't want them to do that. You want to kind of be able to describe it,
mind,
you know, in a genuine sense.
We don't mind these people ranting away at us, do we? We take it on the chin.
Well, there you have it. Emma, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I actually use Google quite a lot. I use YouTube as well for kind of like figuring out how to do stuff. There was one time I remember I was home alone, my parents were away, and my fire alarm would not stop going off, and there was no fire. It was just like out telling me it was out of batteries, and I had to figure out how to dismantle it without whacking it with a broom or something. So I went on YouTube and I found out how to do it and did it all myself, so it was good. It's a great tool.
And that is the 21st century in action, Bill Coles. In action.
Yeah, right. You dismantled the fire alarm and didn't roast yourself alive the next day.
No. I think it was like 4 o'clock in the morning as well, so I just wanted to get back to bed.
You can follow Bill, of course, on Twitter, twitter.com/WilliamColes1. Very important. twitter.com/WilliamColes1. You can also access his sensational texts, The Woman Who Was the Desert Dream, The Woman Who Dared to Dare, and other fabulous William Coles pieces. But whilst we're plugging people, let's talk about Sam, because Sam, you've got a whole stretch of wonderful new covers that have just been produced for some of the writings you've been doing recently, Sam. So let's share that word and why Scotland would benefit from getting William to be the official importer of Sam Stone authored fantasies.
Yes, I think they need to benefit from my new Vampire Jean book. And if they haven't read the rest, they need to get them all.
Okay, well,
the new one's
called
Jaded Jewel, and it's been long in the wait to get to this one, because I won't say what I did to everybody on their fifth book, but I did get a lot of hate mail.
So, you killed off your heroine, didn't you?
4 years later. Very, very pleased with it. And my second Jinx book is out. The Jinx Chronicles. I've got Jinx Town last year.
From the Sky News Centre outfit.
Now it's Jinx Magic. Got a brilliant cover by Jim Burns.
Ooh. Which makes perfect sense. So Jinx, just set the scene for Jinx, because obviously we won't ask Starburst to review it this time, but in terms of... Oh, actually, Starburst,
let
fine.
It go, Star- Alex.
Let it go, Let it go.
That's all right. Jinx, just for the point of view, again, what's the general plot line?
It's a sequel, obviously, to the first one, and it's about my character, Jasmine Regis, who's a former teacher, who survivor of an apocalypse, escaping the planet of the Jinx and getting back to Earth, and then what actually happens there. There's a lot of military conspiracies and a lot of myth and magic.
And it's kind of a portal fantasy stroke science fiction.
So far, Bill, I've been quite guilty because I've just been reading the Sam Stone Cat Lightfoot stories. I feel as though I actually need to stretch this. In case you're wondering, and I'm sure you've already Googled to find out, Sam Stone is a British author of Gothic, horror and fantasy fiction, commissioning editor of Telos Publishing imprint, Telos Moonrise, and indeed her debut novel won the Silver Award for Best Horror Novel back in 2007. Would have been featured in Emma Tinson's dissertation, but in the end she decided to go with something completely different. It's okay. Oh. It's okay.
It's all right, I forgive you, Emma.
Whether it impacted on the final mark, I don't know. It's okay. It's, all will be well. Emma, we have Graham Harper up very shortly, another big fan of yours, of course, and vice versa from Doctor Who Connection. Would you like to put those last two questions to Bill Coles, please?
Of course. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I always love my telephonic links with you. And I particularly love you always calling it a telephonic link.
It's a rule and we have to stick to the rules. So would you like to join us again on the show next week?
I would love to. I always love coming on. It's the highlight of the week.
Reach out and take my piece of the cake.